This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The Wildlife Conservation Amendment Bill 2021 was tabled for the first reading in the Dewan Rakyat earlier this month and will include new provisions, namely Section 88A and 88B, that provide for punishments for those who organise wildlife shows and promote wildlife. And this is just some of the many amendments that have been tabled. So I'm going to discuss these proposed amendments and whether it will go far enough to fill the loopholes in existing wildlife laws with Mariani Ramli. She's the President of the Hak Asasi Hidupan Liar Malaysia, or HIDUP Group, and Rajesh Nagarajan, who is an animal rights lawyer. Welcome, both of you. How are you today?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Juliet. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me also.
My pleasure, absolute pleasure. So we want to talk about the Wildlife Conservation Amendment Bill 2021. But before we actually get to that, maybe it'll be helpful for those who are unfamiliar with the Wildlife Conservation Act, if you could sort of help break that down, you know, what actually that does, what it covers. Yeah, what is it all about? Maybe Raj, you want to take that?
Okay, sure. The Wildlife Conservation Act 2010 is an act that is intended to protect the wildlife in Malaysia. Now, I would like to place emphasis on the word intended. Now, this is because despite the fact that the Wildlife Conservation Act is intended to protect the wildlife, it is not very effective in the sense that wildlife in Malaysia, they are not really protected. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that, number one, there is intensive logging going on, which results in a lot of wildlife in Malaysia being displaced, being homeless. And when they go out of their comfort zone and they walk around, they find that there's a highway there, and then they get run over. I'm sure you'd have seen in the papers, you know, a tapir being run over, or elephants rampaging in Orang Asli village. Now, this is because they've lost their initial place of staying. And the Wildlife Conservation Act is supposed to help protect these animals. Mm-hmm. So we would need the Wildlife Conservation Act 2010 to have more bite to protect these animals. That would be the first point. The second point would be that the Wildlife Conservation Act also allows for animals to be hunted. Now, this is an amendment that is required. Wildlife should not be hunted. They should be protected. So these are some of the shortcomings of the Wildlife Conservation Act 2010, which hopefully is dealt with by the amendments that have that are currently in Parliament right now.
Okay. Before we get into that, Bam, how about you? You know, do you any thoughts you want to share about the Wildlife Conservation Act 2010? Whether you think it was effective, whether you think, you know, it needed these amendments that are coming, hopefully will come through?
I can say some of the section under this Wildlife Conservation Act 716-2010, some of it actually is effective, but there are still, of course, room for improvement, and we are welcoming. As a conservationist, we're welcoming this kind of amendment, especially where we see there are additional activities that already been opened, such as a rehabilitation facility, which is much needed in this country because it's been really long overdue. Like as an example, in Sabah, they already provide a provision for wildlife rehabilitation since 1997. Mm. So as a conservationist, we are so happy for this lah.
Okay, all right. And let's talk about the amendments, right? So can you, maybe Raj, you want to take this as well. Can you give us a brief rundown of the new amendments that have been made to the Wildlife Conservation Act? And maybe you can also explain how different these new amendments are from the existing laws.
Okay, the new amendments, at first glance, the new amendments are approximately 40 over pages of amendments have been proposed. And these amendments are largely in relation to the punishment. So, for example, the punishment that is usually given for any breaking of laws in relation to the Wildlife Conservation Act is 2 years imprisonment. Now, that has been increased to 3 years imprisonment. And the usual fine is 5,000 ringgit. That has been increased to 50,000 ringgit in most instances. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to point out the particular section because there are many sections that deal with this. But this is the general overall theme of the amendments. Now, what has happened is that this amendment, I think that this is a very cosmetic amendment due to the fact that even if the imprisonment term is increased from 2 years to 3 years, it doesn't provide for a minimum imprisonment. So what you'll have is that because you will, you know, the courts may find a first-time offender and they will give an imprisonment of 3 months or 6 months or 9 months, something like that. So there's no point in increasing it from 2 years to 3 years.
Mm.
So what they should have done is that they should have taken a page out of the Animal Welfare Act, which states that there's a minimum imprisonment term and there's a minimum fine. So that is what we need. We need, I would propose, a minimum imprisonment of, say, 2 years, a minimum fine of, let's say, 30,000 ringgit or 50,000 ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having a cap, what we need is a minimum. So by going by way of the cap, I think that they have misdirected themselves, and it is not going to be a deterrent for the for those who go around killing wildlife for profit, because it is lucrative. And because it is lucrative, if you are fined 5,000 ringgit, that's not a deterrent.
Mm.
You can make a whole lot more by breaking the law and paying a fine. So it doesn't work that way. So that is why you need much heavier fines and you need much heavier prison terms. Now, that is the theme that runs through it. Now, beside the theme that runs through it, there are many, many amendments to many, many sections. Unfortunately, it is my opinion that all of these amendments are inconsequential. They do not really protect wildlife. And that is my problem with the amendments and also my problem with the Wildlife Conservation Act 2010 itself. Because the purpose of the Wildlife Conservation Act is supposed to conserve wildlife, to protect wildlife, and to make sure that wildlife in Malaysia are not subjected to harm.
Mm.
But that objective does not seem to be achieved. That is my overall take from the Wildlife Conservation Act Amendment Bill.
Okay, and I, you know, after this, I'll ask you to hopefully go through it a bit more and just to explain, you know, in a more granular level, you know, why it is that you feel that way. But Bam, how about you? You know, how do you feel about some of the amendments that have been proposed? What are your thoughts on some of the amendments?
Actually, there are other proposed amendments apart from the wildlife rehabilitation. It is additional activities that require permits, such as, you know, carrying out research or study in wildlife reserve or wildlife sanctuary, operating, of course, a wildlife rehabilitation facility and training facility and boarding facility,
mm-hmm.
carrying out allowing wildlife competition, carrying out wildlife control services, or using any wildlife in the performance of any religious, custom or cultural activities. So because previously it is limited to operating a zoo, commercial captive breeding, and operating a circus or wildlife exhibition, and then carrying out research or study on any protected wildlife only. So actually, there's a bit concern, you know, for me, from us, about these new amendments, especially for the, you know, allowing for a show, wildlife show. Because under the wildlife show, is a new section 88A, which is for organizing wildlife show. And under the section, it said, wildlife show means an activity based on the natural behavior of wildlife, which involves performance of wildlife in a special site or stage within the zoo premises and conducted by a wildlife trainer.
Mm-hmm.
So you see here, the word show itself already means to present or perform as a public entertainment or spectacle, you know. These animals will be forced to do their so-called natural behavior based on when we want them to do it, not based on when they want to do it.
Yeah.
So this is a clear abuse, actually. And then animal control service, there will be many, you know, like a company that will starting culling the animals if there's human wildlife conflict. So we hope the Jabatan Perhidupan and the KETSA will look into this again lah.
Mm-hmm. So what you mentioned was proposed amendments to Section 10 of the Act, right? And so now all of those things that you mentioned, those are going to require a permit, whereas before they didn't.
Yeah. Before this, I'm not sure about the special permit for the wildlife show.
Okay, all right.
Because it's a new section provided under this new amendment.
Okay, all right. And
there are still wildlife show happening in zoos or mini zoos or animal park.
Mm-hmm.
So it means they're allowing it with a permit again.
Okay, and do you think that will be helpful, as in to you know, stop like all these? I mean, you know, we've seen it before, right? You go to any so-called wildlife sanctuary and actually it's just like basically an animal show where animals are being exploited. Do you think this will help curb those sorts of incidents?
to be honest, when we open a door for, you know, a permit for a wildlife show, means we will allow, there are chances for this activity to be allowed. And then, you know, wildlife show, like I said, means, you know, leads to the wildlife cruelty, abuse to the animals. If maybe we can change the mentality in Malaysia, where if you love the animals, just see them in their natural habitat. Let's see, just, you know, don't force them to do something that they're not supposed to do.
Yeah, especially just for our entertainment, right?
Yes, totally right.
We were just going to go for a quick break and then we'll come back and discuss more. I'm speaking today to Mariani Ramli, or BAM as she's known. She's the president of Hak Asasi Hidupan Liar Malaysia, or HIDUP, and also Rajesh Nagarajan. He's an animal rights lawyer. We're sort of dissecting what the Wildlife Conservation Amendment Bill 2021 is all about. We'll carry on after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me today are Rajesh Nagarajan. He's an animal rights lawyer. And Mariani Ramli, or BAM. She's the president of Hak Asasi Hidupan Liar Malaysia. We're talking about the Wildlife Conservation Amendment Bill 2021. You know, whether it's going to provide enough, you know, to fill those sorts of loopholes that are already existing in our wildlife laws. So before the break, Raj, you sort of broke down, you know, what some of the amendments are going to be. You know, based on everything that you've read, and you did say it's like a 40-page sort of document, right? I mean, were there things that jumped out to you as rather or particularly disturbing, or, you know, didn't quite sit right with you?
I would like to echo what Mariani was speaking about just now. She was referring to section 88 capital A, mm-hmm. where this is a new section, a new amendment, hence why there's capital A there, section 88 capital A, which allows for wildlife shows.
Yeah.
Now, this is particularly disturbing because all it says is that now any individual can have a wildlife show as long as he has a zoo permit. And who gives you the zoo permit? Perhelatan will give you the zoo permit. So now what we are going to have, I suspect, and I'm quite fearful that this may happen, is that you're going to have corporations, individuals, organizations seeking a zoo permit and somehow obtaining it and going around having wildlife shows with all kinds of animals. And having a wildlife show is in itself is cruel because these animals cannot have wildlife shows unless they have been trained to perform tricks. Because without tricks, it's not going to be fun for the audience. And that's what the audience are paying for it, and they would expect tricks. And how do you get these animals to perform these tricks? You have to train them. And training will always involve beating. Without beating, without having some sort of punishment, you cannot get the animals to do what you want. Of course, it will be not just beating, there will also be rewards, hopefully. Okay, but no matter how, it is an aberration. It is not how they would act in the wild. Mm-hmm. So this is not right. This entire Section 88A is a completely unnecessary amendment, which is encouraging the use and abuse. It will lead to abuse eventually of wildlife. And you will have all these animal rights activists and animal rights lawyers going to these wildlife shows and getting completely upset after seeing it and writing about it. It's going to be a whole new can of worms, Section 88, capital A.
Okay.
On the flip side, we have Section 88, capital B. Now, this is, I think, the only provision that is actually good that has come out of this entire amendment. Section 88, capital B prohibits the promotion of wildlife for business dealings. Now, this is excellent because right now, if you see someone advertising a certain animal for sale on Facebook, that is not actually illegal. You can't go after them. Only if they're in possession of the animal can you go after them. But now, the minute they advertise the animal on Facebook or whatever social media or WhatsApp or Telegram or whatever, you can go after them right now. So that is excellent. That hopefully will enable Perhelatan and enable the enforcement agencies in curbing the sale of wildlife in Malaysia. Because this is a huge problem. People are going into the jungle, kidnapping animals, including gibbons, monkeys, birds, larger primates, and selling them online.
Yeah.
So Section 88, capital B, hopefully prohibits this and acts to stop this. I think this is something that Mariani is also happy about.
Yeah, I mean, Bam, I mean, we, you know, in previous interviews where we spoke with regard to gibbon conservation, I mean, we always spoke about this loophole, isn't it, for the online trade. If they're not caught with it, in possession of it, they couldn't be charged, right?
Yes, this is like a really happy amendment for us, for the conservationists, I think, because as I always share that the illegal wildlife trade through online, you know, start booming since 2013 lagi in Peninsula, most of it in Peninsula Malaysia lah, with the rise of social media user.
Yeah.
And we as a conservationist, we need to make campaign, and including myself, had been involved directly with calling out traders, and then until we managed to shut down one of the famous traders named Kejora Pets that time, who has been selling for almost for more than 5 years. And the way we do this, we have to attack these traders using the social media also, because there are no law provided for them. And then hopefully after this, the Jabatan Perhilitan will work together with the Suruhanjaya Komunikasi Malaysia, and then maybe also bank that can detect the sellers, you know, through the dia punya account. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I think if you were talking about other concerns that have been raised also before, is that, you know, the commercial captive breeding allowed for the under this Act, right? Is that going to be changing with the amendments? You know, is wildlife going to be protected when it's sold, you know, as pets or exotic food during certain seasons? Are there protections now in place?
In relation to the hunting of wildlife, now we have a very weird section in our Wildlife Conservation Act, which says that you can hunt protected wildlife with a license.
Right.
Which means that these are sections 60, 61 and section 62. And there is no amendment in relation to these sections. It only provides for sanctions in the event that the person who is hunting the totally protected wildlife does so without a license. Now, the flip side of that is that if you have a license, or a special permit, as they call it, then you can hunt these animals. Now, what are these animals? If you look at the Act, totally protected wildlife. Now, that's an oxymoron. How can you hunt an animal that is totally protected? If it's totally protected and you can still hunt it, then it's not totally protected.
Yeah.
So we have...
I understand the frustration.
We have the special permits that are being issued for the hunting of totally protected wildlife, and you only get prosecuted or some sort of sanction imposed against you in the event that your special permit or license is not valid, or you don't have a special permit or a license. Then you have broken the law. But as long as you have that, you can happily go around killing totally protected wildlife. And the amendments, the proposed amendments to the Wildlife Conservation Act, do not deal with this at all. In fact, they make the punishment more. If you don't have a special license, if you don't have a permit, you get a heavier punishment. But that's besides the point. The point is that totally protected wildlife should be totally protected. They should not be hunted. They should not be killed. They should not be kept in captivity. They should not be used for breeding. Leave them alone. And you have this specific section, which is even more disturbing, section 61. Section 61 states that one cannot hunt an immature protected wildlife without license. Which means that as long as you have license, you can hunt immature protected wildlife. What does this mean in layman's terms? Immature protected wildlife is baby animals. If you have a license, you can go and kill the babies. That's what it says. Section 62 is the hunting of female protected wildlife. So Section 61 says you can go and kill the babies, and Section 62, you can go and kill the females. And if you do it without a license, you have a heavier punishment. That's what the amendment says. But the original section, 61 and 62, still exist in the original form.
Okay. I was going to ask, you know, how does one get a license for these things? You know, I mean, are there like sort of criteria, and is it strict enough? You know, clearly not la, but you know, what does one need to do to actually get a license like this?
I'm not exactly sure how it is. I do know that the license has to be procured from Perhilitan, and from my experience, I speak off the cuff here. From my experience, a lot of people seem to have this license.
Okay. All right. And, you know, if for anyone who's curious about what a totally protected wildlife is, maybe you can give some examples.
Okay, totally protected wildlife in Malaysia is defined as per the second schedule in the Wildlife Conservation Act 2010. Now, this includes, I mean, the list is very, very long. It's broken down into mammals, amphibians, reptiles, etc. But some of the animals that people would be more, they would probably know about would be your monkeys, the gao, for those who know it,
yeah,
the serow, the all kinds of wild dogs that we have in the jungles, practically all the monkeys, including the langurs. The langurs, the dusky langurs, all of them are totally protected and still killed. And you have the giant armadillo, all the elephants are protected. And needless to say, the leopards, the tigers, the leopard cats, the flat-headed cat, the caracals, these are all protected. And I'm mostly listing down the gibbons. I'm mostly listing down the mammals here.
Sure.
And these are all protected animals. And all of these animals are hunted for money. And you can actually see them being sold on Facebook for money, especially the small cute fellas, the squirrel family, the gibbons. I think gibbons are probably number one, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of being sold. They really sold a lot online. Mm-hmm. And birds, a lot of birds are also sold because there's a huge following for birds as well. So people go into the jungle, they capture the birds and they sell it online. These are some of the examples.
Okay. And Bam, you know, what would you like to add to that, you know, especially, you know, with regard to gibbons? I'm sure you have a lot to say about that.
Actually, the trend that we can see more, the wildlife punya trading, yang paling atas is like the birds, the avian group, and then follows by the primate, of course, the dusky langurs dulu, and then the slow lorries, you know, gibbons, because they're quite rare and it's a bit expensive. There are demands, tapi because of the stock tu tak banyak, so they're kurang lah. But
okay,
because, you know, the gibbons is already endangered, the population is not really as much as other species.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to add a bit for Rajesh punya point. Actually, the whole idea of firstly having a law that allows for the captive breeding of protected wildlife to either sell as pets or to serve the exotic food industry is, I think, clearly preposterous.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, pandemic has taught us about the connection between wildlife consumption and then zoonotic transmission. We should learn from this.
Okay. All right. And I guess, you know, another thing I wanted to ask you about, Bam, is the, you know, provision for rehabilitation, something that you were talking about earlier, right? You said it is, I know we've spoken about this and you said it's much needed. Why do you say that? You know, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I just want to say again that it is really great that the provision for rehab is there, you know,
mm-hmm.
because, but while allowing this, while having this provision, we also need to be really careful when, you know, granting the permit. When you want to grant the permit to the rehabilitation centers, they must be only be given based on qualification for the team or the person in charge that will involve in handling or managing the wildlife. This is to avoid many, like before, you know, zoos, mini zoos, animal parks, to avoid pertumbuhan terlalu banyak without kawalan kan.
Mm-mm.
Because now and then mini zoos, animal parks, I mean, even zoos nowadays, we see they don't really practice the five freedom principles for the animals in captivity, because they don't really have this, even this kind of basic, they don't have it. So, and the zoos now, you know, the main objective for zoo before this is for the purpose of conservation. But now we can see the places like this just focus on entertainment and profit-oriented kan.
Yeah.
And then when we talk about provision for rehabilitation, as I say, it's much needed in Peninsula Malaysia, because in other countries, rehabilitation centres mostly been run by NGOs, especially in Thailand and Indonesia, our neighbouring country, as early as 1990s. By doing this, their government can focus more on management and enforcement. But still, the government, they oversee the operation of NGO-run rehabilitation centres. So here, what I can see, if we start practicing the same method and work together, we can help reduce Jabatan Perhilitan workload. You know, this is secara tak langsung, can open opportunities for graduates and vets to be more involved, and they do not need to go to other countries to learn about rehabilitation because their hometown cannot provide a place for them to do so. Such as now, we have like students that need to learn in Indonesia, and I have and we have now interns that or they just realized we have a rehabilitation project here, and they came and help us and learn from us. At the center now, you know. And then the importance of specific species for rehabilitation. Expertise is one. That consider a hospital. You have a specialist for everything. You wouldn't want to an ophthalmologist to perform heart surgery, right? Yeah. Or vice versa. And it takes them years of dedication and single focus to understand their field and specialty in order to perform their work.
Mm.
Specific species rehab is like that also. It takes years and focus to understand the specific and what it needs. So the species, behaviors, and what they need. Individual needs, in fact, and also proper certification as well. And another thing, you can't mix different species together. Like example, I can't do gibbon rehab next to tigers. If they are constantly terrified of having predators so close, they would get used to their smell. And when released, they will think, hey, this I'm familiar with that smell and it's not a threat for me.
Mm.
So I can go play with them. I can go close to with them. Lah. So that's the importance. Lah.
Okay, all right. And, you know, if I can just sort of get the both of you to maybe we can start with you, Raj. You know, I mean, as you've outlined, you know, there are some still many gaps, right? I mean, what are some of the improvements that you think are really necessary, the most pressing ones that you would like to see, you know, hopefully being included in the amendment?
There are many improvements that are required to make the Wildlife Conservation Act a decent act. Right now, it's practically indecent, especially if you look at sections 42 and 43, which allows Perhelatan to sell wildlife to dealers, and section 43, which allows dealers to sell totally protected wildlife to strangers. Now, this is, totally protected wildlife, and yet they're being sold by Perhelatan, and it is being sold in turn. The captive breeders or the license holders are selling it to the public. But of course, they will say that, this is only limited. This is only during the first 30 days of open season. So that means during the first 30 days of open season, you can go around selling protected wildlife, is it? Then they're not protected, isn't it? Then what is the point of calling them totally protected wildlife? It's an oxymoron. It makes no sense at all. So to answer your question, I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent there. Your question as to what we should do is all of these sections need to be amended to make sure that the entire purpose of Perhelatan and the entire purpose of Wildlife Conservation Act should be to conserve animals, to protect the animals from humans, since we are the perpetrators of all the nasty things.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we go about doing this? One of the first things that we need to do is rehabilitation. These animals that are in the possession of Perhelatan should be rehabilitated and should be allowed back into the wild. That's number one. Number two, whenever there is human-animal conflict, the solution seems to be, you know, get your rifle locked and loaded, go there and start shooting and killing the animals. This happened in Port Dickson a few months ago. This cannot continue. Wild animals cannot be shot and killed like this. If there is human-animal conflict, it is because of the humans, because we are going around destroying their forests. In the event that there is human-animal conflict, then the animal that has come into the area of the humans ought to be caught or trapped, tranquilized, and relocated. That would be the human way to deal with such intrusions into human territory. But going there and killing the animals is not an accepted way or not an acceptable way of doing things. And this is not reflected. This is not reflected in either the original Wildlife Conservation Act 2010, and neither is it a proposed amendment in the amendment bill. So these are things that are lacking. And this is what I would like to see. I would like to see all killing of wildlife stop. I would like to see animals only being tranquilized and relocated. I would like to see animals being rehabilitated, especially the primates. Since they're highly intelligent, they need rehabilitation before you can let them out in the jungle again. And this will make sure that our wildlife, which belongs to all Malaysians, it is our treasure, that this wildlife, they have a decent chance of living their life in their normal way of life, leading a normal way of life in the jungle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Bam, how about you? You know, if there was anything that you would like to add to the amendments, what would it be?
Actually, I would like to request Jabatan Perhilitan and KITSA to look into the giving license for macaques for panjat kelapa in the East Coast State for the purpose of, you know, apa dipanggil, panjat kelapa for sumber rezeki, something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Because to be honest, the macaques has been trained with negative reinforcement. They've been hit with horse, and then if they don't listen to the owner, they stop the macaque from eating. They don't allow them to eat, and they've been chained. Of course, lah, chained kan.
Yeah.
Then they can, when they've been chained, they cannot run or hide until they just sit there and been hit lah by the owners or by the trainers at the monkey school. Mm. So this is clearly wildlife cruelty. Cases such as macaque makan tuan happened before these animals, because these animals had enough. You know, there are cases mana dekat Kelantan yang John makan apa gigit leher tuan dia, and the owner died. Okay,
yeah.
So because they had enough, and these animals have feelings too. It's painful. You hit them to ask them to panjat pokok kelapa. Let me share with you. Actually, Thailand is the world's biggest, third largest exporter of coconuts, after Indonesia and Philippines, and they're exporting more than 500,000 tons in 2019. And because this, the popularity of coconut milk then as alternative to dairy milk has grown steadily lah during the past 5 years. Then the industry growth rate expected to nearly double in the next 5 years. But activists went there, do investigation, they launch international campaign, and as a result, up to 30% coconut sales in Thailand had decreased. So we don't want this to happen in our country. We do, and then our economy also, disturb our economy also. So I would request, humbly request to Jabatan Perhutanan and KETSA to look into this again. And other thing, if I want to touch again about the permit granting for, you know, wildlife facility like the rehabilitation center, zoo and all,
mm-hmm.
I would like to also request a special audit group, you know, zoo audits that qualified, daripada a qualified, actually qualified team of welfarists and behaviorists, because vet alone will not be able to give proper assessment. So, kita bentuk satu special audit unit, combination from government organization and also non-government organization to do audit to zoo, mini zoo, rehabilitation centers to provide check and balance.
Okay. All right. Okay. So there's actually quite a lot there. I guess, you know, as you said, Raj, there's so much that is lacking, unfortunately, even under these amendments. I guess, what are your hopes? You know, I mean, is it too late? You know, can things still be done? You know, can public sort of get involved in this at all in any way?
Yes. What needs to be done is that the ministry in charge of presenting the proposed bill, the amendment bill, they need to have public consultations. Not just with the public at large, but also with the stakeholders. Now, the stakeholders would be the NGOs, the animal rights NGOs, the wildlife rights NGOs, and there are so many of them. There are particular NGOs to deal with particular animals. There's one specifically for orangutans. There's one specifically for gibbons. Now, all of these stakeholders, I'm in touch with most of them, and none of them have been consulted. So how did the ministry come up with these amendments? They came up with them unilaterally. Hence, all the shortcomings. They have not dealt with the issues. They have not dealt with the problems. Mm. They've seen it only through their narrow vision, which is, hence, they do not have a bird's eye view of the issues that's plaguing the wildlife in Malaysia. Hence, what I would like to see to answer your question would be for the ministry to engage stakeholders, come up with the proper amendment bill that addresses all the issues so that we can move forward, so that we can have a proper Wildlife Conservation Act, just like the other more progressive countries, so that we are not stuck in a rut, you know, treating our wildlife like, we cannot treat them like property. And that's what's happening right now. We're treating them like property. They're not. These are beings with feelings, and we can't do that. Not anymore.
Okay, all right. I'm afraid we're running out of time. Just any last message that you'd like to leave us with? Anything at all?
My last words would be that wildlife and all animals, they need to be treated with love and care, and they should not be treated as capital. They should not be treated as property. They have feelings, they feel pain, and we as humans, we should endeavor and ensure that they are protected, that they are allowed to lead their own normal lives, and that we should not intrude and kill them just for profit or for entertainment.
Okay, all right. Bam, any last message you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, I would like to tell everyone that we need to understand that wildlife didn't go through domestication process. You know, no genetic alteration like the dogs, cats, the cattle and all. So they're not supposed and not used to being close to human. And being close to human is just leads to mental abuse for them. So let them be wild, because we as a people, human, we want people to respect our life and privacy. So does the animal. So does the wildlife. So just respect them in wild, and we should protect them together and work together, government and non-government organization.
Mm-hmm. And the public as well, right? Yeah,
put up the yes, pressure. And the public as well. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Mariani Ramli. She's the president of Hak Asasi Hidupan Liar Malaysia, or HIDOP, and Rajesh Nagarajan. He's an animal rights lawyer. They were laying out, you know, what the amendments are in the Wildlife Conservation Amendment Bill 2021, you know, what's lacking. Again, I guess, you know, the message is there's a lot more sort of stakeholder conversations that need to happen. There's a lot more interaction that needs to happen for this to be a really robust sort of amendment. So hopefully that will happen. I guess we'll wait and see. But thank you so much again for joining me. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can always download the podcasts at bfm.my/earth, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.